In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in this consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. One occasion I was talking to my father, who was a public speaker, and he said, you have to know how to get on and how to get off as a speaker. But also, with respect to prayer, we have to know how to start and how to end. So we spoke earlier this morning on how to start off our prayer. You come into the presence of a three times holy God. You make a genuflection. You make the sign of the cross. Then you place yourself in the presence of God, imagining that God is looking at you with great love. Pray to Mary, the Mother of God, the full of grace. Then pray to the Holy Spirit. Our interior master is the Holy Spirit. Then with that, you enter into the topic. For example, your first meditation was the fall of the angels. And you read through the biblical passage. And then you ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight. Okay, St. Ignatius in the text itself speaks about various forms of prayer. So I'd like to talk about what Ignatius suggests in the ending of a prayer, and it's called a colloquy. Spanish is called coloquio. The Saint Cardinal John Henry Newman, one of the greatest writers of the 19th century, he defines a colloquy as a heart-to-heart conversation with God. That's Cardinal Newman. A heart-to-heart conversation with God. That's the definition that Newman gives. I think that's pretty good. I like that. So Ignatius says, at least at the end of your prayer period, you should have a colloquy, at least at the end. I did my holy hour at about 5:15 this morning. I usually start off with an hour and a half. I think in my holy hour, I probably had at least 25 colloquies. That's just me. When I'm doing my holy hour, I talk a lot to the Lord and His Mother and to St. Joseph. I don't went to the end. Whenever I feel inspired, I stop and talk to the Lord. So it doesn't have to be the last moment. It can be any time. The Lord is always ready to listen to us. Now, Ignatius says a colloquy can be a simple colloquy and can be a double colloquy, or it can actually be a triple colloquy. And we all have to learn our own style of prayer. Teresa of Avila says we learn how to pray by praying. It's kind of common sense, isn't it? It would seem to be, no? We learn how to pray by praying. Practice makes perfect, huh? So a simple colloquy, you talk to the Lord. Now let me present the possibility of a triple colloquy. So you're ending and you talk to the Blessed Mother. I can't remember ever in my life ever doing a holy hour in which I have not talked to Mary. I don't think I've ever done that my whole life, no? I feel that being an oblate of the Virgin Mary and loving Mary very much, if I don't introduce Mary, I'll fall flat on my face. So talk to Mary. Use your own words. You can speak in Spanish, English, Korean, or even Swahili. Mary understands all languages, but especially the language of the heart. But Ignatius would suggest after you talk to Mary in a very fluent, spontaneous way, say the Hail Mary. Then, talk to Jesus. Talk to him. However you're inspired, talk to Jesus. Then Ignatius says, end by praying, soul of Christ, sanctify me. You ever hear that prayer?
Yes.
Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Oh, good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Bid me come to you, that with your angels and saints, I may praise you forever. It's called the Anime Christi, attributed to Ignatius. Beautiful prayer to say after Holy Communion, too, by the way. And then, have a conversation with God the Father. Perhaps a relationship with God the Father could be improved in this retreat. Maybe you saw the movie Case for Christ, where they have the scene, he has a father wound. Maybe some of us have father wounds. Probably, at least to a limited degree, some father wound. Well, that can be healed if we can go to our Father who art in heaven. God the Father can heal us of that father wound. I don't think Ignatius would get angry at me if I said you can even go beyond three colloquies, maybe even four. You can maybe talk to the Holy Spirit. Or talk to Blessed Michael McGivney. He's his feast day today, the founder of the Knights of Columbus, right? Have a conversation with him. You know, don't see your prayer life as a straitjacket that all of you are like made in the same. We're all different. No one has the style of prayer that Father Broome. And I'm not going to say it's better than your style, but I have my own style. And I'm trying to prove in my own prayer life every day, I'm really working at it. And I think you are during this retreat trying to improve your own prayer life. I hope you are. That's why we're here. Okay, so take this catechesis and prayer. Take it seriously, please. Because the danger is this. I'm giving you a lot to read. You know, often two biblical passages. I'm giving you some supplementary reading, not to supplant, but to supplement. Okay? Especially as Americans, we tend to be cerebral. We do. We're American. Americans have said we tend to be cerebral, intellectual, and that's not the end purpose of the exercise. We want to arrive at the heart. They say the biggest difference is going from the head to the heart, those 12 inches, no? Some people are 10, sometimes 14 inches, depending upon the head size, huh? So there is our catechesis on prayer today, and it's the triple colloquy, the triple colloquy. And you know, in your free time, when you're just walking, you can talk to God, you know, you can talk to God even outside the formal prayer period. We're in a much more refined spiritual milieu or atmosphere. Talk to God whenever you feel inspired to do it. When you go home at 5 o'clock, make sure you're talking to God. Don't put Him on the back burner. Huh? All right. So let's move into our second meditation. First meditation was the fall of the angels. You see, Revelation chapter 12, we've given you that, the fall of the angels. This meditation is going to be the fall of our first parents. And you can define this most specifically. My first talk invited you to meditate upon Genesis 1 and 2. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, the two accounts of creation. Now we're going to be meditating upon Genesis chapter 3. In all creation, we spoke about Aristotle's and Thomas Aquinas' scale of creation. Remember that? We talked about the mineral elements, then you got the plant, and then you got the animal, and then you got the human person, then you got the angels, and you got Mary the Queen of the Angels. So all of creation, we have Adam and Eve in the world is the crown or the summit or the apex of creation. So Adam and Eve are created in the image and likeness of God. Even as a child, I wonder, what does that mean, image and likeness of God? I remember a little kid, what the heck does that mean? Well, it means this, that we have an intellect and we have a will. Fulton Sheen says that the human person has three great desires: to know, to love, and to live. Amen? You like that?
Yes.
Fulton Sheen. It's a Fulton Sheenian principle and foundation, no? We all have the desire to know. We all have the desire to love. We all have the desire to live and live forever. So God creates Adam and Eve in His image and likeness. And Adam and Eve were not robots. A robot really cannot love God because a robot doesn't have free will. So Adam and Eve, they're given freedom. Now you're able to try to go really deep in meditating Genesis chapter 3. I mean, you've maybe meditated upon this 100 times. Go deeper. I think God's going to give you new insights today. You can read a biblical passage 100 times. In the following time, you get an insight that never occurred to you. Like the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. Because the Holy Spirit gives certain lights in our intellect according to our capacity. Sometimes we're not capable of receiving certain insights. We're not strong enough. We're not pure enough. But we go advancing. The Holy Spirit opens up the window and shining on us new lights that we never saw before. So the only prohibition that God gave to Adam and Eve was not to eat, most of you say, not the apple. It actually never says apple. It says the forbidden. Maybe it was an apple. Maybe it was a watermelon. No. Yeah. Maybe it was a taco. We don't really know. But it was the fruit, okay? Not to eat from the fruit. I've often thought about this. Maybe there were hundreds, maybe even thousands of trees in the garden with fruits that were possibly even better than that fruit. But God said, do not eat from that fruit. If you do, you will die. Very clear. In Adam and Eve, they didn't have original sin, yet they were intelligent. They didn't have the darkness and the intellect because they didn't commit the original sin yet. So their intellect and their will was stronger before the fall. Now Eve draws close to the forbidden fruit. Question, why was she there in the first place? Try to see in the fall of Adam and Eve yourself. I think we have the Adam and Eve within us. How often have we drawn close to the forbidden fruit? Hello, anyone home?
Yes.
Very often. So allow this to be your life. Try to identify with Adam and Eve. We draw close to the forbidden fruit saying, well, I'll just draw close to it, but nothing's going to happen. Oh, yeah? He who plays with fire is going to get burnt, huh? He who walks on the slippery slope will fall. And the Bible says, he who plays in danger will perish in danger. So try to see the Eve in ourselves. How many times have we drawn close to that forbidden fruit? Kind of lying to ourselves, well, I can overcome it. There might be a little bit of presumption in that. What do you think? Presuming on our own power. Instead of God reliance, it's self reliance. So there she is. And guess who shows up? The serpent. And the serpent wants to engage Eve in a nice, friendly conversation, huh? He says, hey, why don't you eat from that forbidden fruit? Spiritual writers say never enter into dialogue with the devil, okay? You know why? You're always going to lose. Never enter into a dialogue with the devil. Maybe the devil is not going to speak to you like a serpent, like in the case of Eve. But how often does the devil present in our imagination certain images that are not good? And maybe we go with that. Instead of rejecting it right away, we're kind of going with that bad image. Even though we know we shouldn't, we kind of go with it. So as soon as the devil starts to tempt you, you have to make a determined decision to reject that temptation right away. Exactly what Eve did not do. When she says, the serpent says, she says, if we eat, we'll die. No, you're not going to die. Come on. You're going to become like God. John chapter 8, Jesus calls the devil, what? A liar and a murderer from the beginning. Already we see the devil lying. How often has the devil lied to you and you swallow that line? Very often. That's why we have spiritual direction. That's why we have a spiritual director, to discern between the lie and the truth, between the good angel and the bad angel. So Eve, she looks up at the forbidden fruit. How many times do we look up at the forbidden fruit today? I'll mention one. It's called pornography. Ever hear that word?
Yeah.
Pornography is the modern forbidden fruit, and almost everyone has problems with that today. That's the biggest addiction in the country. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Millions and millions of people looking at that. And the worst thing is they say, that's okay, this is modern American society. So see if we can apply this forbidden fruit to our own lives, our own families, our own society, our own culture, our own hearts. So she looks at the forbidden fruit. She lifts up her hand and she plucks from the forbidden fruit and she eats it. Original sin. And what does she do? She gives it to her husband, Adam. Remember yesterday we talked about John Paul II, reconciliation and penance, the five effects of sin, the theological, the social, the personal, the ecclesial, and the cosmic. Remember that? There we see already in full gear, you know, they've offended God. Now she's going to be hurting her husband. She's hurting herself. And even the cosmic, even the earth is going to change with that. There's one sin you can see, you know, the church doesn't exist yet, but those four effects that John Paul II can be seen in one sin. Offense against God, you're hurting yourself. Sin is moral suicide, JP2. Social, you're hurting your husband. And even the earth, instead of being hospitable, it's going to become more difficult to live on the earth. All right. The last part of my talk will be to show all of us the effects of original sin. I like to call it a moral tsunami that has repercussions until the end of the universe. You like that? Okay, it's a moral tsunami. Remember that tsunami that hit India about 12 years ago? I think it died, what, like 500,000 people? Another one hit Japan. These tsunamis, they have very powerful repercussions, don't they, no? And all of you were happy to have that earthquake yesterday, weren't you? Kind of nice. Kind of nice reminder to wake up. No, some of us were still kind of lethargically, you know, moving into the exercise at a slow pace. I think the Holy Spirit wanted to wake us up. Amen? Amen or oh me. Amen, right?
Yeah.
Nothing happens by chance, huh? So this is a moral tsunami that has repercussions until the end of the universe. I like to teach and preach through images. Let me give you one. When I was a kid, when I'd go on vacation, there'd usually be some pond or some lake nearby. And one of my hobbies was to throw rocks. Father Victor is very good at ping pong, but no one could beat me in skipping rocks. No one. No, try me. Give me a lake, and I will beat everyone. There's an art in skipping rocks. You know, you have to get the size. You have to get a calm lake or a pond. Then you have to have your arm, which is parallel to the ground. And then look. Boom! I can skip it 30 times. Yep. You, it's just kerplunk, right? Okay. No, I could skip it 30 times. No? Because there's an art. But going beyond the skipping of the rock, if you take a rock and you throw it in the middle of a pond, kerplunk, onomatopoeia, huh? Okay? Kerplunk onomatopoeia. Sounds like the word, doesn't it? Okay? And what do you have? You've got these concentric circles that go, what are they doing? They're radiating themselves to the very end of the shore. That's what original sin has done to all of humanity. Like the image?
Yes.
Good one, huh?
Good.
So Adam and Eve, they threw the stone in, and we have the effects of it. So let me give you a few effects. Okay, one effect. How many mothers here? Okay, when you had your children, were you chewing gum and singing a Beatles song? Was there pain involved in that? Yes, or was that just a figment of your imagination? Yes. Well, every mother here can say, man, when that baby came out, man, that was a toughie, huh? A lot of pain. Well, as a result of original sin, women bring forth children in pain. Yeah. The Blessed Mother did not. Why? Because Mary was without original sin. She brought forth Jesus without losing her virginity. That's Mary. But aside from that, there's pain involved in bringing forth children. Okay, how many men work here? Or at least you fake it, okay? You work? Work can be tough at times, huh? You're working hard, you're sweating, maybe either physically or intellectually, and you don't seem to make as much money as you think that you deserve, huh? As a result of original sin, bringing forth children in pain, and earning your bread by the sweat of your brow. Yeah. This is original sin. How about this? Our intellect is not totally damaged, but the intellect is partially damaged. Remember my first year in college? That's really, wow, it's 50 years ago. It's incredible. I guess I'm betraying my age, huh? I remember, like, I got like A, B plus, and F in cultural mathematics. Adam and Eve, they're the fault. You give me literature, you give me philosophy, you give me theology, I do pretty well. But math, I do not have a math brain. Adam and Eve are the culpable for that. So there's a darkening of the intellect. What else? Did you ever say, okay, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to lose a couple of pounds? Never happened? Not yet? No? I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to lose a couple of pounds. No? So Monday, one of your friends invites you to a birthday party. I'll do the diet next week, huh? By the way, you know the best way, the best exercise to lose weight? Can I tell you?
Yes.
Push yourself away from the table. Good advice?
Very good.
Or have a pandemic in which you have the mask closing your mouth, no? Less gula and less cheese mace, huh? Another effect of original sin is sickness. We've got nurses and doctors, right? So as a result of original sin, sickness. Did you ever see Jesus or Mary sick in the Bible? Did you? You ever see Jesus was sick in the fever and Mary was watching over him?
No, you
never see Jesus or Mary sick in the Bible. They did not have original sin, but all of us get sick at times. All of these are effects of original sin. And there was a modern statistics have pointed out that 100% of the people, 100% of the people living today, one day will die. Would you agree with that? So we're all destined, we all have mortality, not immortality. Our soul's immortal. So I've given you a presentation of the sin of Adam and Eve, the dynamic of the sin of Adam and Eve, but also I've given you the effects of the sin of Adam and Eve. I call it a moral tsunami that has its repercussions until the end of the world. So meditate upon this and try to incorporate into your meditation right now the colloquy. Okay, the colloquy, always do it at the end. It can be a simple, a double, or a triple colloquy. Talk with Mary, the Hail Mary. Talk with Jesus, soul of Christ, sanctify me. Talk with God the Father, our Father, and you can talk with the angels and the saints too. The more the merrier. Amen?
Amen.
So let's say Hail Mary that we really be generous with God in these spiritual exercises. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So your meditation obviously will be Genesis chapter 3.